podcast, we talk about the excitement of the women's college basketball tournament. Wrestling is officially back. The Wolves are first with four to go. And is this the best Premier League season ever? Here we go. And here we go, Nordy's podcast. I'm Eric. I'm here with Jim. How's it going?
It does.
We are about to head into a really good part of the sports here.
Yeah,
which
we're
is
getting
nice.
some like dueling playoff
stuff. We got playoffs. We've got baseball. We're leaving college sports here.
Which you
like
that part?
The NFL draft. It's like this is kind of a fun little stretch of the year.
And baseball has started. You'd be remiss to mention. But is that exciting or not? We'll get into it later.
Yeah, exactly. So lots of fun stuff here, getting some better weather, or at least some, maybe getting a little greener outside, which
is
nice.
Big eclipse today.
Yeah.
Did you check that out?
No.
You know what? The clouds parted and I saw that shit.
You saw it?
And I saw it with my bare eyes. Is that a problem?
Were you impressed?
I was like, this is fucking cool. I got my kids out of school because they were like, the school did nothing for it. Like, they had no plans to bring the kids out to see it, which I was shocked.
Okay, so two things about this. One, the images of people who were in that whatever zone.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool.
That was cool.
Like, turned into night.
The people kind of, like, lost their fucking minds, and they were crying, and it was a little goofy. Like, that stuff was a little weird.
So
but,
that,
I mean, I get it, I
that's
guess.
That's cool, and it made me think of this. This is what I kept thinking. What did people think of this, like, if they were in that zone, you know, like, 1,000 years ago?
Oh, they'd be like, well, this is it.
This is over.
This is it. I mean,
I should have never looked at that woman's side boob or something. You know, like,
right.
I should have never, ever taken an extra potato.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, I should never have shot the deer that was too small.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was it. I'm sure they blamed themselves and freaked the fuck out, and then they invented gods for it, and that's great. And, you know, we have come a long way because a lot of people were very convinced it was just a god thing.
Yeah.
So,
well, I did, okay, so.
Although scientists could predict it from, it wasn't religious scholars and priests predicting this, it was the scientists, but yet it was God.
I did see a video, and, you know, I mean, I'm going to take it with a grain of salt, so maybe this isn't real.
Okay.
But I did see a video where someone was talking about the dangers of looking directly at the eclipse without the glasses, and that after a few minutes, it's hurting your eyes, but you have no pain receptors in your eyes.
Yeah.
And so it's hurting them, but you have no way to feel pain with them. And so it actually can, like, permanently scorch an image of the eclipse in the back of your eye.
That's pretty fucking cool.
That is crazy.
You just, like, that's all you see, and it's just like you wake up, you forget you're kind of blind, you open your eyes, you see the eclipse, you're like, fuck,
forever.
I fucked up.
That was a bad choice. Yeah.
A bad choice, yeah. Yeah, I took a quick, I mean, the clouds parted, I got a glimpse of it, it was very cool. The glasses, my glasses were too dark. I couldn't see it because it wasn't bright enough.
Mm-hmm.
So what my kids and I did was we just used my camera phone.
Yeah.
Right? And then just, like, looked at the screen of the phone. It was very cool.
All right. Worked out great. Well, something that both, you know, holy men and scientists could predict is that it's great if you give the Nordy's podcast a follow on Twitter and Instagram at Nordy's Podcast and subscribe anywhere that you guys get your favorite podcast from. And we will continue to deliver multiple episodes a week, every week for free.
That was a stretch, but I still liked it.
Yeah,
I liked it because it's creative.
Yeah, it was creative. Yep. All right. What are we drinking here, Jim?
This is kind of a classic around here. This is the Prize Miraculum IPA. It's been around, like, for a long time. Do you remember when they were first, like, just popping up at events and kind of just only had this beer?
Yeah.
And I think they were brewing it, like, at Summit in, like, the basement or some shit.
Do you remember that they have that weird, like, game in the back of their place?
Yeah, the feather bowling, yeah.
Yeah.
Have you tried that?
No.
I've tried it.
It looks intimidating.
It's like bocce.
Okay.
But a little different. Yeah, you'd be fine.
You're
good at that shit. I saw you bowl like a couple weeks ago. You're fucking fire.
I was good at bowling.
Fucking four strikes in a row. I think you'd be fine.
Here's my question for you. Okay. If you had a brewery and you had to have, like, a game at your brewery, what would you pick?
Cockfighting ring for sure. It's underrated. I mean, the chickens are cheap. I don't know. I mean, I suppose I would have, It would be cool to have curling, you know, but that's like a big expense. Probably just like a bunch of darts.
Okay.
Like a nice, and you could have dart tournaments and stuff. It doesn't take darts much space. They're cheap. Yeah, darts are fun. What do you think? What would you...
I really...
Do you like that slidey game with the pucks?
That's what I was going to say.
Oh, shit.
The stand-up shuffleboard that they had at like Stray Dog.
Yes.
What did that place used to be called?
Bulldog Northeast.
The Bulldog, yeah.
Yeah, they got one there.
That's
they have
a
one
great
at,
table.
At Indeed.
Yeah, they throw the... The
you got to sand it up.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to sand it up. Sprinkle that sand to get it nice and slick.
That's a great game.
That is a fun game. Have you ever played stand-up shuffleboard?
Oh, great.
It's fucking great.
Why don't we have more shuffleboard?
Why is that just for old people?
I know.
Like, pickleball's taken off. Well, what about that?
I'm sorry. Like, I think that I would way rather play shuffleboard than pickleball.
Oh, yeah.
Way more chill. A lot.
Yeah. Way more chill. You can have a play with your beer in hand.
And it's way better than bags. I'm kind of glad bags died.
Bags is kind of over.
Bags is not, it's not even that fun.
No.
Because if you play, everyone's bad, but then there's like one person who's good.
Yep.
And then I'm like, all right, well, this
is no
fun.
And that's not me.
Yeah, it's
so,
not me.
Yeah, yeah. There's this one person always like, should we play bags? Should we play bags? Yeah. It's like, no, fuck you, dude.
I know. Oh, how about this? Here's another one.
Yeah.
Spike ball.
Have you played it?
No. It looks really hard.
I think that it's, I've never tried, but it looks fun, and I would consider trying.
Oh, it looks like you'd be exhausted in, like, 45 seconds.
Yeah.
It's just, like, I literally don't know how anyone has fun playing it.
You just look a little bit femmy, like, popping the ball with the open hand. Like, you're kind of slapping it.
Okay.
I just don't like that.
Okay.
I think that how about, we should only play
what about
manly
sports. What about Beersby?
Beersby's fantastic.
That's a good
one. We love some Beersby.
I like Beersby, and I like Can Jam.
Yes, similar.
Frisbee games.
Frisbee games. We like those.
But okay, this one will get a couple people. We'll move on, I promise.
Okay.
But
these are sports.
This is one that I hate.
Oh, God.
Okay. And I feel like this is going to get one person that's going to turn this off right now. They're going to say, screw these guys.
Yeah?
Frisbee golf.
Yeah,
terrible
you're not
into time. It? Terrible time.
I haven't tried. I never frisbee golf. Did you try and you just hated it?
It's not a good time.
Okay.
And like the people who are good can throw it like 100 yards, you know, and I can throw it like 20 yards. It's really a bad time.
That's kind of on you though, because that's really pathetic. Because I can imagine I like, at least do 60 or 70 right off the bat.
I don't know. No, let's give it. You should go give it a try.
All right. I won't. I have three or four more to talk about, but we're going to move on.
Someone hit up Jim and tell him. All right, bring him frisbee golfing with you.
Yeah, yeah, please. Let's go.
All right, here we go. We have to talk about college basketball. We didn't talk about it last week.
Yeah, we kind of just, there was so much going on. We skipped it.
Yeah.
But here we are watching the championship.
So college basketball, this last weekend, you had the women's Final Four.
Mm-hmm.
You had Paige versus Caitlin. Which was... No.
Yeah, Paige Becker. Okay,
yeah,
got it.
Versus Caitlin in the semis, which was a really good game with a controversial ending. I did find myself tuning into that.
Yeah. No, tuned that was in. Huge. I mean, everybody tuned into that.
Everyone tuned in. Huge, huge, huge numbers. It was like the second.
16 million, more than like, you know, any single NBA finals game last year. More than any NFL football game except for like a few during the season. And obviously any playoff game killed them. But.
Okay, so that happened. It was really kind of a controversial end. Caitlin Clark.
It was a moving screen, dude. And I was cheering for UConn. But
Iowa,
it was a moving screen. I don't know what to tell you.
Iowa wins just like everybody wanted.
Yeah.
And then they go to the championship where they played against the juggernaut South Carolina team.
Yeah.
And Caitlin Clark looked like she was going to have a legendary night after an 18-point first quarter.
Yeah. And then what happened?
And then she just really wasn't effective the rest of the game.
Just missed a lot of shots and took a lot of shots.
So,
which kind of shot them out of the game.
We're starting with women's college basketball because I think I'm going to give you some positives and some negatives. So I don't want anyone to think... I don't want anyone to think I'm here ripping women's sports or something like that.
No, we're starting with them because they're a bigger deal right now.
More women's college basketball than men's college basketball for this tournament.
Okay, great.
It was better. The star players are much more electric.
Mm-hmm.
Like there are true
stars.
They
stand out more in that group.
They do. There's true stars of the game that are doing incredible things. In the Final Four especially, you had, or I guess in the eight, you had some really cool matchups. Juju versus Paige versus Caitlin. Like you know, this mm-hmm. South Carolina team that 1 through 5 is all stars. They are like 139-3, I think, in the last 3 years or something. Like, this is a real amazing team.
Yep.
I think that the Stars are so good, and they are some of the best women's basketball players in the world, not even just college basketball players, and that really shows. And they're going to be, I believe, like the next big generation of WNBA players.
Yeah.
And I kind of hope they can bring
some of that audience,
to the WNBA. We can get some of these people landing.
I think
that
more people than ever will watch the draft, which is a great start, right? Oh, yeah. So like, if people watch the draft, then they see what teams these players
Caitlin
end up on.
Caitlin going
and then
from
maybe
Iowa to Indiana, it sounds like, which is perfect.
That is great. Just, is that what you think it's going to be? Because she'll be drafted
Indiana
one overall.
I think Indiana has the first
then
pick, yeah. And I think at this point, I think even if they thought someone was better, they would still take her.
Just yeah, just as a huge
like,
draw.
You're going to sell tickets.
Exactly. Yep.
So, to me, I really hope that that's what happens. And there's more players coming. So, I do think there's like a bit of a revolution that's happening in women's basketball. But there are some really bad players that are out there too. Like, the game is pretty sloppy.
Sometimes, yeah.
When it's not some of the real top players, the game is pretty sloppy, like sloppier than the men's game.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, there just is some bad basketball. That's part of it.
Yeah.
College sports and college basketball is pretty,
once again, does allow those really great players to shine even more. They just outclass everybody.
Yeah. Oh, they're just on a
different
level.
But yes, there's a wider, I mean, the worst college, you know, female player in the tournament is worse than the worst men's, you know, like,
there just isn't the same depth of talent. But,
yeah, but that makes sense.
The
you know?
Thing that they've done over the last couple of years is they have been able to create stars with players and with coaches.
Mm-hmm.
The coaches, you can say what you want about them, but they're larger than life in women's basketball.
Yeah.
And they almost kind of
the
like
big
mirror,
bright colors and the
they kind of mirror college football coaches in my mind. Like they're these big, huge personalities. They are kind of like some of the stars of the show.
Mm-hmm.
They all seem like big jerks, but
right,
they
I'm sure
you know
all
like
horrible, but that's what I assume about every coach,
yeah,
college or not, mostly college coaches. I just assume every single one is a complete asshole, and that's how they've gotten to the point they're at
now. The men's tournament, I'm not here, you know, I'm trying to say some good and some bad from my what I saw with the women's tournament. I don't have really much good to say about the men's at this
as
point.
Soon as the women's tournament started getting deeper in, nobody paid attention to the men's anymore.
No.
Like, my bracket is out there. I don't even know what the fuck's going on with it. Like, it's
the problem is just that the women have been able to create stars.
Mm-hmm.
And the men can't. And I don't, there's no argument anyone can make. Like, who is a big must-watch person? If you think Zach Edey is a big must-watch player because he's tall, I don't, he's not even going to be a good pro, most likely.
Right.
I mean, these are not the future NBA players. This is like semi-pro basketball at this point. And it's just like, they're so poor.
They're going to be like awesome car salesmen though. Like,
and the thing is like, someone will then say, yeah, because they're playing for the name on the front and not on the back. No, they're not at this point.
No,
everyone's entering the transfer
that
portal.
That maybe was
every
true
year.
10 years ago.
That might've been true at some point, but at this point, these guys they're mercenaries.
They're playing for NIT deals. NIL deals. Yeah.
And they're just mercenaries. They're going to all leave next year to go follow whoever else. There is no team. There is no long-term teams that stick together and try to win multiple titles or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
There's very little loyalty and there's very few stars. And so I find myself like paying attention kind of to the like social media coverage and like the stories more than like mm-hmm. tuning into these games.
Yeah.
I just don't think the basketball has been very good.
You know, to get into a little bit about the popularity of Caitlin Clark and Paige Beckers, right?
Yeah.
Did you see some of these conversations that are happening with like current WNBA stars or like former?
Yeah.
They're really bugging the fuck out of me, dude.
Me too.
Like, okay, so Diana Taurasi.
Yeah.
She recently had a quote where she's like, America is only interested in a young female athlete, and once they, you know, get the pinnacle and they're in a professional, you know, nobody's interested in them anymore. And it's like, dude, you were in the Space Jam movie.
Yeah.
You are on ESPN nonstop. You're getting to my feed right now. You have had a big career. And you're just like ignoring all the women's soccer players that like our people are obsessed with. You're ignoring like major tennis stars like Serena, where everybody's been obsessed with, or in Venus, right? Like every single game up until their retirement, they're obsessed. So it's just like a weird jealousy moment that's coming through, and it's ugly. And it's like, dude, you cannot sit there and speak out of one side that you want, you know, more people to be interested in women's sports, and then say, yeah, but they're interested in the wrong part of women's sports. It's just like,
I don't like
bad
that.
Look.
I think that the problem is that, you know, the WNBA has just had such a hard time maintaining like the excitement of the fans.
Mm-hmm.
And I think like whatever they can do to make women's basketball more exciting. And I'm not talking about like rule changes or something.
They need to expand. They have 12 teams.
Yeah. They need to make it so more markets have these teams.
Yep.
They would do really well, I think, to make some women's basketball stadiums around the country.
Oh, that'd be cool.
They were like maybe a little smaller and more intimate venues that were built just for these teams.
So it doesn't look so empty compared to the NBA games that they share it with.
And like there has been some of that in soccer. Like in Kansas City, they just opened the first ever women's soccer stadium.
Oh,
it was like a
cool, big
deal. And like Patrick Mahomes is involved. He's like part owner of the team and stuff. So I think there are really cool ways. And I think like the model that I would be trying to follow is what's happening in European soccer, is that the teams are like, I know it would be unfair to the few WNBA teams with any kind of history, but I think they should do away with it. Mm-hmm. And what I think they should do is they should get rid of the WNBA, start all over, and have each of the teams in the NBA have
the women's side.
Women's side.
Yep.
And it's the Timberwolves women's team.
Yep.
And so like in Europe, Barcelona has Barcelona men and Barcelona women. Arsenal men, Arsenal women.
Yeah.
You know, and, Man City, you know,
even,
men and women.
You know, that's fantastic. But beyond that, right, they even have like the younger groups, all the way down to like,
all the way down,
you know, 12-year-olds.
Yeah. And they have these teams that
it's one system.
They wear the same jerseys, the men and the women do. They do promotional stuff together. And then, you know, like for the big games, the women will play at the Arsenal Stadium and they'll sell out 65,000 for it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just think like what they have done with soccer and women feels so much more cutting edge and more fair
mm-hmm.
than what basketball is with women here.
And they could maybe start looking at doing that now. And maybe this Caitlin Clark come up is going to help with that.
Yep.
But I'm sure like a lot of teams have no interest in trying to maintain,
they don't,
you know, this organization, right? Where like, you know, here in Minnesota, we have the Wolves and the Lynx, right? And their branding is similar and they share facilities. So it's about as close as you can get to that. But most of those
teams
don't
have that.
Yeah, right.
And like the thing is that the NBA owns the WNBA.
Mm-hmm.
They're the same league.
Yes.
They're owned by the same people. And so to me, it's just like they need to do a better job, because at this point, we talk about sports every week. I watch sports all the time. And I don't really know even when the WNBA season
starts and ends.
I don't know. And like, that doesn't mean I don't know when it's happening.
I think I used to know a little bit more when it was expected that the Lynx were going to win every time.
Yeah,
that was sick. I was paying a little more attention.
Yeah.
And now that I heard that they're bad, I just am so tuned out.
Yeah.
But yeah, maybe we get more into it. Like, I don't know. Who knows?
Well, we didn't get into the Gopher women's team, and they played in the NIT championship, and they got dummied by St. Louis.
They got dummied. Dude, it was bad for like a team that was playing well, and you know, they're not Caitlin Clark. We don't have one of those.
Yeah.
But they were playing well and it was exciting, and then we got beat by St. Louis so fucking bad. I think we shot 3 for 25 from three. We had like 20 turnovers. We scored 50 points. Just about as ugly as it gets. Just kind of like a real bummer to get that far.
Yep.
And then go out like that. But
All right.
Maybe next year they'll be in the actual NCAA tournament. Who knows?
So we're talking about things that we usually don't talk about right now.
I know.
Right? A lot of women's sports, college sports, things that we don't always spend a lot of time on. Something we need to talk about.
So we're going to talk about the Wild next?
Yeah. Something we need to talk about is that wrestling is back.
Wrestling's back,
apparently. Wrestling is back.
That's what I'm hearing. People like you are telling me.
Yep, wrestling is back. Let me tell you, people here are like, man, women's college basketball and wrestling. Like, stay with us here. All right.
Okay. I'm staying with you too.
We got everything that you guys always like, but we are trying to give you some new content today too. Wrestling is back. And what happened here is that Vince McMahon, the guy who ran wrestling pretty much forever, was as evil outside of wrestling as he was supposed to be inside of wrestling.
Which is impressive. Yeah. Actually, more evil.
Yeah, more in evil. Real life. He's gotten himself in so much trouble.
He told the writers, he's like, dude, soften my image a little bit. Soften my image.
So many times he got in trouble, and now this last time it was so bad that they just cut him out completely. His son-in-law, Triple H, his name is Paul Levesque, I think.
Okay.
He is now in charge of the company.
What did Triple H ever stand for?
Hunter Hearst Helmsley.
So that was his fake name?
That was his fake name.
Jesus Christ. Yeah. So he came up with a fake name and then a nickname off that to be his wrestling name.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, his name is what? Tyler Lavelle?
Paul Levesque or Levesque or something.
Anyways, that's hilarious.
So he is in charge now, and it seems like everything has gone really well. They had a really huge build for their big event, WrestleMania, two nights in Philadelphia, and it was based around the longtime champion, Roman Reigns, his cousin, The Rock, this guy, Cody Rhodes, who is like the hero. He's like Captain America.
Yeah.
And Seth Rollins. And they fought in the
main event. He's Captain America with a lisp, and I just appreciate him so much.
So anyways, they had a big match on Saturday, and The Rock won. It was like nostalgia. And then on Sunday, it was Cody Rhodes against all odds against Roman Reigns. And there was no rules, so all of Roman Reigns' family and friends could come help him to cheat.
Yeah.
But a bunch of heroes from the past came out, and you got John Cena came back.
Dun, dun, dun,
dun. The Rock came out again and fought John Cena, and then The Undertaker showed up.
Which is electric.
And the fans were loving it. It was just a blast from the Attitude Era past, and
so the millennial guy in you was just was like,
excited.
Wow.
Yeah, it was like,
yeah, like they're really doing this for me.
It was a blast from like my childhood. So that was exciting. And Cody Rhodes won. And the big thing here is that wrestling has spent like, I don't know, 15 years, 20 years, something like that, in what they called the PG era, which meant that no one really that was a grown up paid any attention to wrestling.
Right.
Because it was not very violent. There was very appropriate storylines. Mm-hmm. It was model, you know, it was being made to make toys and for kids.
Yeah.
And I think they were just kind of like, man, remember when we just made real adult content? Let's just go back to doing that. And so supposedly in their new era that they're going to go into, it's just going to be more adult, more violent, more.
I mean, the stuff, it is funny that they stuck with that even for the pay-per-view stuff, right? Where they could, it's not on TNT or USA,
yeah,
whatever the fuck these Monday night stuff is on.
Yeah.
It's, you could do anything. And this was on Peacock, right?
Yep.
And they did. From what I watched,
a lot more violent,
there was
a lot
like
more swearing.
Swear words that they sort of like, you know, didn't edit when they should have, but they didn't because it was cool.
Yeah. The Rock kind of was swearing a lot and was doing a lot of really violent things.
Yeah, he's like the bad guy.
A lot more blood, you know. Yeah. And I just think that, like, that is I don't know. I don't follow that closely, but what I think I've seen on social media and stuff is that their numbers are better than they've been in, like, decades.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I think that was one of the most watched. Like, it was a big deal. And nice that we didn't have to pay $50 to watch it.
Love the Peacock. I like Peacock.
Yeah, no, Peacock's got good shit.
Peacock has Premier League.
Yeah.
It has wrestling. It has the Harry Potter movies. It's got a couple
say,
cool
that's
shows.
All you need. That's
I don't
all
know.
You
I'm
need,
kind
yeah.
of in on all of that stuff. Yeah. So, there you go. Wrestling is back. WrestleMania 40 in Philadelphia was a success. And we were really hoping to get an announcement that WrestleMania 41 was coming to Minneapolis. But they didn't say anything.
They didn't announce. At least they didn't announce for a different city, because that would have sucked.
It's either Minneapolis or Vegas. And
is that what you think Vegas is going to get it?
Yeah. I'm kind of bummed now.
It's
huge for the... It's supposedly like the second biggest event that brings money into your city next to the Super Bowl.
Wow.
So it's really important to get it. It would be great for Minneapolis.
Did you see the Naz Reid towel?
I did, yeah.
That was awesome.
I loved that.
Like the Timberwolves absolutely loved that. Dude, Naz Reid is everywhere. And then he just, like, right after that, had or actually the same game, night, had a fucking massive game. And, like, right, you know, Meg Thee Stallion saw Naz Reid go off, which makes me think everybody probably saw Naz Reid go off, baby.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
That is. So there you go. Wrestling's back, and hopefully we'll be here next year.
I hope so.
We will.
Otherwise, we got to fucking fly to Vegas.
Just so you guys know, we will be talking about wrestling again.
Every single week in a new pod. We're sorry.
We'll be talking wrestling again next January for the Royal Rumble. So until then, hope you smell
unless
what
the fans
Nordy's podcast is cooking.
And we get like tons of DMs. Yeah. We need more.
And that's
wrestling
the bottom
content.
Line because the Nordy's podcast said so.
That's perfect.
All right, next up, we have the Timberwolves.
We do.
Four to go.
Four games.
Four
and we're
games
in the
ago.
One spot.
We're in the one. We're tied on a tiebreaker. We're ahead of Denver.
We have the same defending record as Denver, but we've beat them twice. They've beat us once, mm-hmm. So there's that. We play them again.
We play them on Wednesday.
We do have a half a game, or is it a full game lead on Thunder?
I think a full game on the Thunder.
And the Thunder have a tougher time. So I feel like we're locked in at 1, 2, or 3, which is just only the second time ever for the Timberwolves, which is really sad. But we're breaking records left and right this season by being pretty good.
I really think that the Wolves have like a 30% chance to go to the finals if they're the one seed.
Okay. So you feel like that gives us the best path. Oh, there's, you know, even when we eventually play Denver, which we assume that all roads lead through that team, we would have the home court advantage.
It just kind of
that.
Is like, who do you want to play? Like, could you play Golden State or the Kings in the first round? And then you play Dallas.
Yeah.
And then you play Denver or OKC. That's the route. And you're home, and you have home court.
It's tough. I mean, yeah, I get it. That it's tough no matter what, but the home court is nice. I mean, we're kind of assuming that the Nuggets are going to make the Western Conference Finals.
I feel confident they will.
So hopefully we don't play them until then. Otherwise, that means that they've beaten us.
I think that if I had to be honest about where I think the Wolves are,
mm-hmm.
I think that the best team in basketball is the Celtics by quite a bit.
Yep.
I think the second best team is Denver.
And the third best team
is
the
Wolves. And the third best team, I think, is the Wolves. And the fourth best team, I think, is the Thunder. And I think that there's a gap between 1 and 2, but I also kind of think there's a gap between 2 and 3.
Yep.
And it's not because I don't think we can't beat. Like, I think we could beat them. We've beat them in the regular season the last couple of years. We played them pretty tough last year in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that I think they're some significantly better team, but they have the best player in the world, the most consistent player in the world, and they have a really tough home court advantage with all the altitude.
Right.
And they've just been there. They won the title last year. And we have never been there. We've never been in deep waters in the playoffs with any of these guys.
Right.
And so I just think that I would be really, really, really pleased with the season if they made the Western Conference Finals.
Of course.
Made it deeper than that, that would be a dream. But the Western Conference Finals, I would, even if we got swept in the Western Conference Finals, I would be disappointed in the moment. But I would
be like, damn,
really
the Wolves
proud.
Made the Western Conference Finals. I mean, that would be incredible.
It would be.
We would have to look at that. And this year, we're outperforming. I mean, our expectations were maybe we can get a top 4 seed.
Yeah.
I think that's what we were hoping for. Well, we have that locked up.
I just keep thinking about how
we're a year away. We were always kind of imagining.
But I think we were a year early on our predictions last year.
Oh, yeah.
Because
oh, yeah.
last year, we thought we were having this season. I think last
no,
year, I predicted that...
No, we didn't even imagine that we could have this good of a season.
I think last year, I predicted that they were going to be the 2 seed. And were in the play-in game.
Yeah.
Ugh.
So
they were.
Happen.
I was 1 year away. They needed to gel. They needed a little more time. They needed some guys to develop.
And, you know, we got players getting better. Nas is getting better every single day. Ant is getting better every single day. Ant has so much room for improvement. It's insane. Like, when I look at his stat, he's not a great three-point shooter.
He's distant from his ceiling.
He's leading the league in turnover, or he's, like, up there in turnovers. He has so much room for improvement. And he's 22, so of course
Ant
he does.
Will win an MVP at least once.
Oh, I think
so,
too.
He's that level of guy.
Yeah, I mean, his stat categories aren't amazing, but he is willing our team to wins that we maybe wouldn't have without Cat normally.
I think that the thing with Ant is that he is pretty inconsistent right now, but there's just so many pieces to his game that are good.
Yeah.
Like, even the parts that he's not great at, he's good at. And
him choosing to focus on the defensive side right now makes him so much more valuable.
He's a great defender when he wants to be. He's a great passer when he wants to be. He just is not always consistent with all of these pieces. And so it just is a work in progress with the Wolves. And I do think that this playoffs is going to make a big, is going to help them make a really big choice. And that's Karl Anthony Towns.
Yep. It is. And in good news, and I consider this very good news, he's coming back soon.
Yeah.
He did a full scrimmage practice on Sunday. I expect him to play maybe light minutes the last game of the season or something, just to get up there and get some, and then be ready for the playoffs. And
I think Towns,
that's fantastic. And when the playoffs start, we get like a week off instantly.
Yeah.
Because we got to wait through the playoff games to even find out.
Yeah.
Or the play-in games to see who we're even going to play. We won't know for a little bit, which is also really exciting. I love the play-in.
I think that Towns is playing for his Wolves life, though.
And if
he
I
has
was
another
him,
bad, if he had another, because remember how bad he was last year in the playoffs?
Yeah, well, he had a couple games where terrible. He was okay, but mostly like he cost us games.
He had a 6-point game and he fouled out like multiple games. He was really struggled.
He really
did. I think that what they've shown is that even without him, they're one of the best teams in the NBA.
Right.
And so I'm not saying that Towns is bad. I think Towns is a really, really talented player.
Yes.
But I just think that they have to make a choice. I think if they go to the Western Finals and Towns has a bunch of 30-point games and he's just is a absolute weapon, you know, stretch big
shoots
man.
Shoots 41 from three and is, yep.
I think he's back. They just run it back with the same team. They say Ant will be better next year. Jaden has to be better next year. Let's just run it back.
Sure.
But I think if they get upset in the first or second round or Towns is just not effective, I think that they will be looking to ship him out and bring in a piece that they like better.
Well, we can't really afford him and everybody anyways. That's already going to be an
luxury
issue.
Luxury tax disaster.
Yeah, and then there's this thing about Ant playing well enough to make all NBA, which it sounds like he probably will, which means he gets some kind of big
huge bonus.
Millions more or whatever more that we don't have because we're in the luxury tax. So,
and we have Glenn
somebody's
Taylor
kinda
as our owner.
Yeah, what do you think he's going to fucking do? Although,
he's going to be like, trade anyone expensive.
Let's get rid of Ant. I think that's probably the way to go. I think that he's not the future. I mean, I don't know. It's 4 games left. I think that I imagine we're going to be 2. I know things can change, and they do almost every single night right now, which is exciting.
Wednesday's.
But the Thunder have a very tough go.
Big game, though.
Yeah. Wednesday versus the Nuggets. Of course, us coming off. You know, a game against the Washington Wizards
at home,
which is a joke of a team, but we're still going to get tired. And then we got to get on a plane the next morning and fly to the fucking Alps to play on, you know, thin air in Denver. And that's tough. So
that's tough.
I hope that they rest as much as they can, even during the game tomorrow night against the Wizards and put one on them. I don't know. That
I just
would be
really
amazing,
like
but.
That you called them the Alps.
Yeah, I just was looking for something high up, something way up there.
So a couple other things here. Naz Reid, he's made a huge climb in the sixth man rankings. You've been pushing this all year.
Hey, man, this is one of my more outrageous predictions,
it was.
I think.
I thought this was an outrageous take when you said it early in the year. And even at mid-year, you were distant. He was like the 9th or 10th favorite.
I was like, yeah, but look how good he's playing.
He's been getting better and better and better and better. And that's another reason I think Towns is iffy to come back. Because
Nas
gonna
is
gonna,
a starter on 25 NBA teams.
What are we going to do? We're going to cut Nas's minutes way down to have Towns
he's
come back?
He's incredibly efficient.
He's been so good. And so I do think it makes us better in the playoffs. But I you know, he's going to fight here to the finish. He has good 4 games. He could win the sixth man of the year.
He really could, which is crazy.
Rudy, heavy favorite to win defensive player of the year.
Yep.
And here's the thing. I know Rudy gets a bad rap and people don't really like him in the league and fans don't really like him.
I like him now.
Yeah, we
like
him here because he's on our team. But
yeah.
Opposing fans always hate him. Other players seem to think he's a jerk. He's kind of like misunderstood French guy in the league.
Sure.
And what people need to understand is that Rudy is an absolute first ballot Hall of Fame center. First ballot Hall of Fame center.
Bro.
One of the
That's
great...
funny you're saying that now.
I know.
Because, well, here's the thing. If he gets another Defensive Player of the Year...
It's locked.
And it should be.
It's locked.
Because everyone is like, well, if he's washed, does he make it? Does he not? He's not going to do anything else. No, he's the most important defensive player mm-hmm. on the best defensive team
yep.
who's got the best record in the West. Yep. I don't know what else there is to say.
And he is like, if you want to know who he is just this generation's Dikembe Mutombo or Alonzo Mourning.
Yeah.
Is just like a really, really good defensive center who can score, shoots at a high percentage, yep. is a good rim runner, but just really dominates the paint, good rebounder, great shot blocker. Like, he just is those guys. Mm-hmm. He's Dikembe Mutombo.
Yeah.
And like, in people's minds, I think Mutombo gets, you know, put on a pedestal. And I think because he waved the finger.
It's classic.
And if Rudy just had a finger wave sipping tea or something. You know?
What do the French do? He's eating a baguette.
Yeah, he's eating a baguette.
Big chomp of a baguette. That would be great. Get him a signature move.
Something like that. He needs a signature move. But yeah, I think he's a Hall of Famer at this point. And yeah. I just didn't know he still had this in his bag.
Dude, he's looking buff. Having a really nice year.
I heard Austin Rivers. You know, remember him?
Yeah.
Austin Rivers played with the Wolves. I think last year he was on the team.
Yeah, he was.
He's a big podcaster now for The Ringer.
Yep.
And he was talking about the Wolves with Bill Simmons last week.
Okay, which we always love.
Yep, and he was saying that he was just raving about Ant. And he was just like, Ant was kind of slow to mature as he came into the league.
Yeah.
But now that he's like laser focused, he's about to blow up as the big U.S. star of the league. The other thing he said was that Rudy was very, very, very aware of the trade and what people were saying about the trade.
Yeah.
And that Rudy was really banged up all last year. And he was never healthy all last year, and he was trying to get healthy, and he was trying to play through injuries, but he just never was healthy.
And
the
fans are not supporting him, and yep. everybody in the league saying, what a joke. Yeah. I can't believe they would get Rudy, washed up Rudy. That's got to suck.
So then Rudy went crazy this offseason, lost a bunch of weight.
Yeah.
And thinned out to try to get healthier and be better on his joints. Got really skinny. And, you know, really, really put in the work, and you're seeing it this year.
That's awesome.
He's been great.
You love to see that. So, yeah, he's going to get defensive. And here's the last thing. There, when Cat got hurt,
mm-hmm.
I remember the day. It seemed very dark.
It did.
And we've had a winning record since. We're still in the one spot. And I think that we would kind of be a lock in the one spot if Cat hadn't gotten hurt.
Yeah.
But at the time, you know, national media was saying, well, they're going to drop. Yeah. They're going to drop past 4 or 5. Yeah. Like, you know, this is going to be bad.
I was concerned.
Everybody was concerned, and I wasn't as concerned, okay? I will say that. But, of course, it sucked. But I heard multiple pundits, including, like, Charles Barkley, go, well, I'll tell you, if they still get the one spot without Cat,
yeah,
Ant needs to be the MVP. Mm-hmm. He deserves to be the most valuable player.
Mm-hmm.
And so that seems like it could happen. And, you know, his stats are nowhere near like a Shai Gilgeous-Alexander's, right? I mean, Shai beats him, I think, in every category. Fucking fantastic player. But, you know, he's older and more developed and all those things. So I'm not comparing him. But it is something to say about, you know, how valuable you have been. He has willed our team to wins without him. So
the only guys that this site is listing, they have 6 guys on the list, and Ant is not one of them.
No, I wouldn't imagine.
They got...
Can I guess?
Yeah.
All right, so it's leading is probably Jokic again.
They have Jokic by a landslide.
They probably have Shai in the mix.
Third, SGA number 3.
Third, they got... just read them off. Who do you got?
Number 2, Luka Doncic.
Okay.
Number 4, Jalen Brunson.
Nah.
He's great, but he's playing in New York. That's why.
Yeah.
Giannis at number 5 and Jason Tatum at number 6.
Okay. Tatum, interesting. I don't know he's having that good.
So, yeah, I just think that we have a couple of big guys who could win awards. And I really think that this experience, so long as we don't blow it and go out right away,
mm-hmm.
is going to be critical to where Ant and this team can go in the next 3 years.
Yeah.
And just knowing in the NBA, most guys are not in a place for a long time. So who is going to be a part of this long-term plan?
Right.
Ant and who?
And you learn the most from the playoffs.
You do. You learn a lot here. And they're going to have to prove that Rudy can be in the playoffs, because mm-hmm. a lot of teams play small in the playoffs.
They do, and Rudy doesn't have a great history of having a great performance in the playoffs. So we need to see that, too.
Need to see that. So some of these guys are going to have to prove their worth. They're making max deals. We need Kat and
has
Rudy.
Almost no experience. And then we have guys that have a bad reputation for the playoffs. So,
yeah.
I mean, I really think anything could happen from us going out in the first round to us making the finals. I don't see us winning the finals.
I think
but
we could go out in the first round.
It's insane.
I think we could lose to, the Lakers in the first round, or we could lose to the Celtics in, six in the finals.
Yeah, I know. That's
and anything in between.
Because we can beat anybody.
Yeah.
But we can also, but you know, a team that hasn't done it isn't expected to do it. They got to do it at some point.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's so much fun, dude. Four games left. Having a blast. I got tickets to both the first two games of the playoffs. I'm so ready.
All right. Next up, we're going to go into the Premier League.
Let's go.
This is the best.
Another incredibly exciting
sports. I think this is
sports.
The best Premier League season ever.
Wow.
That's what I'm going to say. I think it's the best season ever. I don't know.
Because Arsenal's in one with seven games left?
No, because there's three teams within 1 point
with seven games left.
I don't think that they've ever had a season this competitive.
Yeah.
Ever. I don't know. Maybe someone could tell me about a season in the early 90s or something. I'm going to say the Premier League has never been bigger. It's never been more popular. And the three teams at the top are so good.
Mm-hmm.
And they all very well could win out. I mean, right. It wouldn't be a surprise if all of them won out and just it ended with goal differential.
Because at this point, we don't play each other anymore.
Nope.
Yep. So
the
we
big
all
three
could.
Have all played each other.
And which that would be great for you.
Yeah.
Because that would be, you have the best goal differential in the league
by quite a bit.
Nobody's going to, in these four games, they're not going to pass your goal differential.
Now, I don't think that will actually happen. Right. But I did see the current odds for the title. And I'm going to make them up. But I think it was Liverpool was at 36%. Arsenal was at 33 and Man City was at 31.
Oh, wow. Interesting.
That's as good as it gets. It is
funny that I'm sure that adds up to a 99%.
No, it's 100. No one else can win it.
No one else can win it. So
no
100.
Okay.
Win.
I mean, if they all lost all of their games.
Yeah.
But they're not. It is a three-horse race to the end. These teams are red hot.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, think about it like this. Arsenal has gained 5 points on Liverpool in 2024. Okay. Five points. They were down 5 points going into 2024.
Really impressive for a team because Liverpool ain't dropping points.
And Arsenal has won 11 games and drew one game. So they've dropped two total points, and it was at Man City. And they only gained 5 points because Liverpool and City have been electric as well. These teams are not losing.
Fun.
They're not drawing. They are showing up every single week and putting on shows. Liverpool has been the cardiac kids all year long.
Yeah.
They have so many goals in extra time
it's
and in
been
the last
stressful.
10 minutes. It has probably been really stressful to watch.
Yeah. I mean, it's fun and it's fun. And it's also newer guys to the team.
Yeah.
You get a Luis Diaz goal and you're like, okay, I guess, it's more of a surprise when it's not the same old cast of characters.
Yeah.
So really, really been fun.
All of these teams also are playing in Europe as well.
Yep.
So I believe Liverpool is playing Fiorentina and Arsenal's playing Bayern Munich and Real Madrid is playing against, or Man City is playing against Real Madrid. So they're all playing other games on the side. The teams are getting healthier than
two games
been.
A week in the Premier League alone, usually. Yeah.
It's going to be hectic the rest of the way. Any loss could probably end your
well, honestly,
chance.
Everybody, so City and Arsenal both played games against scrubs. I don't know who the fuck they played, but you guys both won on Saturday. So then here comes Sunday, and then Liverpool draws.
But they were
with
winning.
Man United,
then they were down.
Yeah.
Got a goal, and then just had so much pressure late and couldn't find the winner.
Couldn't do it. And honestly, I have said this before. If they don't win the league, it's because they couldn't beat the best teams. They didn't really beat.
Yeah.
I'd have to look back. I mean, did we beat Arsenal?
No.
Did we beat City? No, we drew.
They drew and drew
twice.
Yeah.
Drew with Man. Well, we stomped Man United once, I think, and then drew with them. So I don't know. I think we beat Tottenham. I don't know. But here's the thing: we didn't really beat the people that were directly
kind of
competing with.
Taking care of business in all the games they should win, though,
which is great.
That's what they've really done.
And we like that.
So yeah, it's just, it's a great season. I think that this is some real drama at the end of the year.
Yeah.
And I would say this regardless of if my team was in the three or not. Like, this is a really good, it's fun to be a fan and be excited about this. But I think if you were a neutral or you were just trying to get into the sport, watching any of these three teams as they fight to the finish is super exciting.
Just knowing that, like, if you turn on the TV and they're playing and you go to watch the game, they have to win that fucking game. And if
win.
You don't, it's if they don't win, it's massive implications.
And the best part about it is that you have relegation as well. So you are playing, you know, I think this week, Luton Town plays against Man City, right?
Right.
That sounds like, oh, that's going to be a murder. But Luton Town, those guys are fighting for their lives.
Yeah.
They're fighting for their lives. Their paycheck is on the line. They might get their pay cut if they don't stay up. And they're in 18th place, and the top 17 make it.
Yeah.
You know, it's like that in other sports, that team would be fighting for the first pick in the draft. They'd say, let's lose every game.
Yeah, well, this is ideal. They're the Washington Wizards.
This is them saying, we've got to go give City hell.
Yeah.
And City's playing that game between playing Real Madrid and Real Madrid. So that, you know, they have to sandwich.
Let's go Luton.
So these games are all tough at this point. Like, there just are no easy games left. Mm-hmm. And every game in the league is really tough. I think the easiest games are the teams that are not getting relegated and they're not fighting for Europe.
Yeah.
So if you can play those teams that are in, like, you know, 10th, 11th, 12th,
Chelsea.
13th, 14th. Yeah, Chelsea.
Chelsea would be nice right now.
You know, any of those teams that they're kind of like, they're not going to get into Europe. They're not going to get relegated. They're just kind of like middle of the pack team. Those are the teams, I think, that have the least to play for.
Yeah.
So you kind of want to play some of those teams over some of the worst, you know.
Yep.
The bottom of the league teams are scrappy right
now. And, you know, that's its own fun thing to follow too, right? Like, yeah. You know, you can go watch those games and know that if they lose this game, you ain't going to fucking hear from them for possibly at least a year,
yeah,
if not
maybe
2 years.
Maybe longer, yeah.
3 years. Sometimes they don't really recover from these things.
Yeah.
It's insane.
And then you also have the Champions League quarterfinals this week. So you have four big matchups. You have Borussia Dortmund from Germany taking on Atletico Madrid from Spain.
Yep.
That's by far the most boring matchup. Neither of those teams win in the title. Yeah. On that side of the bracket, you also have PSG from Paris versus Barcelona from Spain. It's a really exciting matchup.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Then you have Arsenal from England, obviously, and Bayern Munich from Germany, the 13-time champions.
Well, you
know,
I'm a big Bayern fan. Well, no, I'm just kidding.
They're having
I'm
the worst,
100% cheering for Arsenal here.
They're having their worst year. That's the first year that they've won 13 straight titles, yeah. And they're not winning it this year.
The Harry Kane thing is funny.
Yeah, it's really funny. And then you have your big matchup, Man City, the defending champions, versus probably the best team in Europe, Real Madrid.
So let's go. Big Real Madrid fan, big Arsenal fan this week.
I think I'm cheering for City.
Really?
Because I don't want to have Arsenal playing big games and City resting late in the season.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
I didn't think about
like,
that.
Like, I'm cheering for Liverpool and City.
Okay.
Because
yeah, no, that makes sense.
I want all three of them just to keep winning.
Got
and then...
it. Okay, so I am also cheering for them until it comes time
for
Arsenal to win the whole thing. So, ideally, Arsenal wins the Premier League and Liverpool wins... Or, I mean, Arsenal wins the Champions League.
Sure.
Liverpool wins the Premier
it.
League. That'd be awesome.
I'll take it.
We'd both just party.
We'd party.
That'd be great. Or you win them both and I'm like, fuck you. And
I just
want to
win. I just want to win one title.
Yeah.
My team's never win it. I mean, it's a running joke at this point, guys. My team, we've been doing this podcast forever and forever before the podcast included, my team has never won. Okay. No
give
one I cheer
something.
For has ever won. Just
and
give
you
me
guys
a title.
Are ahead of schedule too, which is exciting.
Just give me something, everyone. All right. And then finally, the last thing for today, the Twins. They're bad.
They're bad.
I'm sorry. I know people will be like, you're overreacting. It's the beginning of the season. But you want to know what the Twins deserve? They deserve all the shit talk that they can get.
Mm-hmm.
The management of the Twins is an abomination. This team won its first playoff game in who knows how long.
It was like 18 years or whatever.
Yeah. Went out and had a great time, packed the stadium.
I was there. It was great.
And then
great.
What did they do? They cut $30 million from their payroll.
Yeah.
What?
They cut payroll.
They cut payroll by a lot. That's embarrassing. That's embarrassing. It's absolutely unacceptable.
And now, you almost, like, we don't want them to lose because we want, it's fun when they win and you hope that they're building on something. But you also, can we teach ownership a lesson finally?
Just don't go to the games. That's what the lesson is. It's like, if we no one goes, then they have to say,
opening
all right,
day was
what did
like
we do?
Fucking half packed. Like, it's.
the fans are mad, and they should be. Like, to me, I felt the most excitement about the Twins at the end of last season, you know, in the fall.
Of course.
That I had in so long.
You even watched some games.
Yeah, that I had in almost 20 years. Like, in the early 2000s, when they were, like, a contender, and they had really exciting teams and great pitching and, like, Cy Young winners and MVPs. Like, they were really a fun team.
Yeah.
And the you know, the end of the Metrodome years, like, they were really fun. I haven't paid that much attention to the Twins in years because the product has been mostly pretty bad. And then finally, they put out a product that looked really good last year. And you could see young pieces. They had spent some money in some important spots. And you had some big names kind of coming up through the ranks that are going to hopefully be, you know, future star players for the team. And then they were just like, we're losing some big names and we're not going to go re-sign them and we're not going to replace them either.
Mm-hmm.
And that's super disappointing to me. And that's just like what the Twins kind of are always good for, is like being cheap half the time.
Yeah.
And so I think fans should be boycotting this team. And not only that, the product on the field is pretty bad. This team strikes out at like an alarming rate. They had 15 strikeouts in one game. They had 14 strikeouts in another game.
Oh my God.
They are absolutely...
It's like all the at-bats.
Yes. They strike out all the time. All the time. And they...
I'm not great with math, but 9 times 3 is like, you know, not that many more than 15.
Yes. This team just strikes out all day long. And this was kind of what we were talking about last week with baseball on here, is that baseball has just turned into take as many pitches as you can, and then get to two strikes, and then protect the plate, foul off as many pitches as you can, and then swing as hard as you can at the first good pitch you see, and you either hit a home run or you strike out. And most of the time you strike out.
Mm-hmm.
And that sucks.
Yeah.
That sucks. And the Twins are like the worst at that in the whole league. Just feast or famine over the last couple years.
Well, I enjoy the ballpark, and I always have, whether they're good or not. So like, obviously, when I was there for a playoff game, I was watching the game. But if I wasn't watching the game, I'd still be having a great time. So yeah. I'm not going to be able to boycott. I'm sure at some point I'll go. I'm excited about it. But it is incredibly disappointing. And, you know, we know, to be realistic, they could just get on a hot streak. And then, you know, oh my God, they're world beaters. We don't care about the $30 million. And then, you know, ultimately, we'll see what happens when
I mean,
when
maybe
the end of the
they'll
year, but
go make some trades or something. But at this point, it's like,
yeah,
we don't have that great of a farm system. We don't have that many big prospects. We don't have that many big pieces to trade. We also don't have probably the starting pitching to really compete. The what are they called now? The Guardians. Terrible name.
Yeah, you don't like that? Should have been the Spiders or what?
Yeah, better.
Way cool.
The Guardians. The Commanders and the Guardians is our new team name.
So
names.
Generic. We could have done better.
Wow.
I can't wait for these expansion teams in the NBA. We'll name them.
What will
first.
They be?
Be
They'll be the...
The Vegas.
It should be something like
they don't want to have it associated with gambling.
They
so
should,
it can't be like the Aces.
But they already have that. It's the women's team. The Aces.
Oh. Well, then shit, dude. I don't know.
I'd be like the Snake Eyes.
Ooh, I like that. I like that.
But I don't know. They'll have some stupid name that's like a job in the government.
The Diplomats. The Vegas Diplomats.
That's pretty much where we're at this point. Yeah. The Commanders.
It's like, what's not going to offend people?
Yeah. Oh, the Commanders. That's an what is a Commander?
Like the Vegas Liberals. How about that? People would love that.
All right. Well, yeah. So there you go. The Strikeout Kings, they cut a bunch of payroll. They don't deserve our coverage. And we know that the poll ads are big listeners of this show. So poll ads, figure it out.
The poll ad pocketbook protectors.
Yeah.
That's that take.
Yeah.
Fuck them.
All right, guys. Well, that is it. That's all the time we have this week on the Nordys Podcast. Check out our screencast later this week. Otherwise, thanks for hanging out with your best friends here at the Nordys Podcast.